It's late afternoon on a gorgeous spring day in New York, a time when many people might be expected to relax and smell the roses. But not Jose Torres. He knows that Thursday is April 15th, and he's worried about the deadline for filing his federal income tax return and paying the bill.
And I'm not feeling good right now at all.
Michelle has met the deadline. Still, she's also anxious about whether her tax forms were filled out correctly.
People are always afraid of filing their taxes. You know, every year there's new tax laws, tax regulations, people aren't sure. So people are always afraid.
Personal income taxes were not always so complicated. In fact, there was no personal income tax at all until 1913. Before that, the federal government got its funds from customs duties, tariffs, and from excise taxes on alcohol and tobacco. Economics professor Richard Silla of New York University's Stern School of Business says that when the U.S. Congress first established the federal income tax, only the wealthiest 10% or so of Americans had to pay it, and then only at a rate of just 6% of their gross income or less.
The rates went up a little bit in World War I, but came down in the 1920s. Then they began to go up in the 1930s in the Depression, when Franklin Roosevelt came in and thought the rich ought to pay a bigger share. But the real gain in the income tax came in World War II. In the war, the rates went up to very high levels, as high as 90%. It was done as a sort of wartime measure, but it stayed on ever after and made the income tax sort of a greater source of government revenue.
According to Silla, that is when the tax code began to get complicated.
Some of those high rates were perceived by people who paid them and government officials as confiscatory, taking too much money from people. And so then Congress began to add a lot of loopholes, so nobody really paid the 90%. You know, they got oil depletion allowances and all kinds of special rates for capital gains. And congressmen, they do the bidding of their constituents, and sometimes they get campaign contributions from very wealthy constituents. And so they sneak special breaks into the tax code that help some of these wealthy constituents, and they're rewarded with campaign contributions and things like that. It's just the way our system works.
That system has become so complicated that Silla, who boasts a PhD in economics from Harvard, often made mistakes in figuring out how much income tax he owed. Today, he relies on a computer program to help him out. And national tax preparation chains like H&R Block are doing more business than ever. Silla notes that the business of the federal government itself has changed radically over the past two centuries. During most of the 19th century, state and local governments were far larger than the federal government, which used about 4% of gross domestic product to provide its services.
But in the 20th century, as the U.S. became a superpower, fought major wars and became the main source of defending the world against the communists, and now, you know, sort of policing the world in a way, the U.S. government grew to be a bigger fraction of the GDP, so that now the taxes take 20 to 25% of the GDP, and government spending at the federal level is about 20 to 25% of the GDP.
Most federal tax revenue goes to pay for programs such as Medicare health insurance for seniors, road building, and national defense. It's a price many New Yorkers like Jimmy are willing to pay, sort of.
Well, I think it's a necessary thing for society because it's supposed to help with, public things, sanitation, police, things that other people need. So I think it's a necessary thing. I just think it's too high, you know? It's a lot of waste.
A huge proportion of federal taxes go to pay the interest on the national debt, which according to the U.S. Department of the Treasury stands today at almost $13 trillion. Professor Silla says the deficit itself is rooted in the contradictory ways Americans view government and its proper role.
I think there's a bias in our system where government spending programs are popular, but the taxes necessary to pay for those programs are unpopular, so we don't raise our taxes enough to pay for what we want government to spend. And then we have more debt. We can't continue to have this disconnect between large spending programs and an aversion to taxes to pay for them.
Thoughts for everyday Americans to mull over this tax season as they stand in line at the post office waiting to mail the government its annual due in advance of the April 15th midnight deadline. Adam Phillips, VOA News, New York.